today. I want to just do a little bit more than we normally do. Okay, and I start out as I do every week now. This is our 15th meeting, for those people who are listening, so they can they know which MP3 file they opened. Okay. The tour unsurprisingly begins Siman Kuf Aleph with the simple declaration, Chaticha Aruya Liskabed Dina Kiberia She'ena Betela. And following the sugya that we've seen so many times, we went through that sugya on Kuf so many times, which juxtaposes the two Isurim sequentially. So it says V'chein, Chaticha, and then, right, it's as if they're analogous to one another. So we conclude that just as a Beria is not Betela Midrabanan, all the work that we did in the past 2 weeks, despite the presence of a robe of heter, so the piece of meat that is sufficiently substantial so as to be something one would serve a guest by itself is not betela. Let me turn this off. In a mixture that would have heter that would otherwise be sufficient to cancel out the chaticha, it's not betela, just like a beria. Okay, that's simple and understood. The Tur's next statement, though, is not so straightforward, and it's picked up by the Chaber, and I want to spell it out a little bit. And we'll need to analyze it carefully, actually, on the background of some sugyas to which the Tur obviously refers. So the Tur says in the second clause there, he says, Vafilu hi asura behana'a, Karinan Ruya Lihiskabeid. So even if this piece of meat that's kavadik, a piece of meat that you would put in front of a guest, is a sura behana'a, we would still say that it's a Ruya Lihiskabeid. So what's going on? If there's a piece of meat that would otherwise be an appropriate dish for a guest, and it's inadvertently mixed into a pot with other pieces of meat, we might have a chumra de ase lide kula. He doesn't say this, but this is my take on it. Would we say that the piece is not Ru'uya Liskabeid, since one couldn't serve it to a guest by itself, since it's Asura Bana? So this would result then in a Kula, because the piece that has this extra stringency, the Isur Hana, would then become a Kula, qua Chaticha Ru'uya Liskabeid Ba. Right?
And was the Kula of Ru'uya Liskabeid?
Well, it would be outside Ruya Liskabeid. We'd say because you can't serve it to somebody, even though it would otherwise be a Chaticha Ruya Liskabeid Ba, it is Betela because it's a Surah Behana. Or you need a Shishin to cancel it out. Okay? Remember, we didn't say that Isur Hana is Bekol Shehu. We didn't say that yet. Right? Okay? Right? So we have a Gemara and a Avodah Zarah. We're going to see that at another point when we do Kama Kama Batel. We'll see that. But right now, that's where we're at. Okay, and I just want to point out, because you know the jurisprudential things always interest me, that we can find adequate sources in the Talmud to question whether Chumra and Kula should be considered two sides of the same coin, and whether one can use them sequentially to effect a Chumra de Asi Lide Kula. I'll just give you one example, but a bunch of sources come to mind. This is a great topic for somebody to investigate, particularly how other legal systems treat stringencies that become leniencies, which I find that to be a fascinating concept. Okay, one source that comes immediately to mind is the second parak of Krisis. So the Mishnah discusses cases there where one brings one korban for multiple transgressions. It gives five examples, and the fifth is on Daf Tes Amud Beis. Ha'isha shel yalda vlados harbe. So if a woman gives birth to multiple fetuses, for example, v'pila betoch shmoni nekeva. So she gave birth to a child, and then she miscarried within the 80-day period that she has, right, that you know the Torah gives her. She miscarried, she gave birth to another fetus. And then she miscarried again during the 80-day birth of that female fetus, the second thing to exit her, or Hamapelis to Omim, where she miscarried twins, which we won't discuss, right? Rabbi Yehuda Omer may via al Harishon So she's given birth three times. She gave birth to a girl. She had a miscarriage within the 80 days of that first birth. And then she had a miscarriage within the 80 days, but not within the 80 days of the first, but within the 80 days of the second. That's the case that we're talking about. And Rabbi Yehuda says, Meviya ala rishon, she brings for the first. The second as if it doesn't exist. Eina meviya ala shniya, because it's within the 80 days. And meviya ala shlishi, and she brings on the third miscarriage, right? The third fetus. Okay, so she skips the middle. And the Chachamim say that she brings only one for all three of them. Okay? The Gemara in Daf Tes Amud Beis and Krisis suggests the Svara that Rabbi Yehuda only treats the second birth as non-existent when it results in a Chumra, but not when it results in a Kula. I'm just laying out that reasoning, which I think we should be aware of. The Gemara says, Dioma, de Rabbi Yehuda, Chumrahu de Islay, Avahacha Kulahu, Ukula Leislay. That's a fascinating jurisprudential question. Also, Gemara says, Makshinan Lakula, Eve Makshinan Lachumra, right? That kind of idea. I always would, on a simple level, we would have thought that Chumra and Kula, they're just consequences that fall out, right? But the rabbis do not treat them as being conceptually identical. I find that an interesting idea, and one that ain kan makom la'arich, but one that I'd like to investigate at some time that interests me. Okay? So here, though, the Tur just gives a simple answer. He's not bothered by whether the chumra of Isur Hanoah can become a kula. He says more simply that since if we would consider the chaticha to be betela, it would then be servable to a guest. So it's still chaticha rialis kabeba, not patela. Right? So he says, if you consider patela and the thing, then it is rialis kabeba, right?
But not maybe if it got chopped up, let's say, right?
Yeah, well, we didn't say that, right? We're not going to say whether or not it's like beria that it requires that nisrasek or it has to be shlema or something like that, okay? All right? Now, we're saying that you cooked it, it fell in there, you cooked it, and then you recognized it. Or if you didn't recognize it, you pull it out, and then it's just b'shishim, the timer. If you didn't recognize it, that's our question. But you know it was in there. Somebody says, what happened to that chaticha that I left out here? I wanted to get rid of it because it's nevela. Right? It's in the pot. Okay? And I don't know which one it is. That's the case that we're talking about. Okay? Right, we still don't have, though, the Tur's rationale for observing this, particularly by chaticha rialis kabeba. I could say this about Chumra da'asi lidei kula in anything. So why does he say dafki here? Well, here, there's a textual reason that he says it. Because it's already been said specifically by Tosfos. So we see that the Tur not only is a posek, but he's a cataloger of shitos, right? So he mentions the shita, right? He mentions the shita and, here because he wants to make reference to the Tosfos, right? So Tosfos, if you have Kolin, anybody have Kolin? You'll find it on Daf Kuf, Amud Aleph. So it's Dibra Maschil, Shani Chaticha, Oil Ruralis Kabeba. You'll get this even if you can't see it. Yes, sir.
So when Shimon says that you mean here, Asur Bahanah, meaning, so we first are going to look at the Chaticha as whether it's Asur Bahanah or not, meaning the whole status of the chaticha is going to first depend on that, and then we're going to see whether it's roilis kabeva.
No, he's going to say that. I think that what he's saying is ignore if it's asura behana. It's whether the piece is roilis kabeva.
Oh, it's the opposite.
Yeah, so he's just saying just ignore it, right? He's saying it's not relevant because the isur hana wouldn't impact on its status of being servable to another person, because if I considered it negated, then it is negated, right? And then it is servable, okay? So, the Tur says the following, the Itema, Im Kena, Maya Marba Perika Ariel, that's in Yevamos, and his references to Daf Pei Aleph Amud Aleph. Dechaticha shel chatas, Temeya, Shinis Arba Bemeya shel chatos, Tehoros. Tale, it's we go by the proportions. It can be batel. V'chite mashani chaticha de nevela de rialis kabed lifnei orkin ovdei kohavim. I could serve it to non-Jews. Aval chatas tmeya asur b'hanoah Answer Yesh Lamar, the Choda Varshira Ui Leeds Chabeba, Im Haya Mispatel Chashi Velo Batel. All right? So Tosfos cite the Svara. What do I want to get out of this? They cite the Svara that a Chaticha that would otherwise be servable retains its non bitul status. This leads the Tur and the Mechaber after them to conclude this Svara in the Seif. Not because it wouldn't have been applicable in other Seifim too, like in Beria, but because it's specifically mentioned by the Tosfos. So all I'm pointing out to you is that the Tur is a cataloger of Shitos too, in addition to being Posek. All right, now, the Shach spells out though for us, all this is not so ayayay, but the Shach spells out for us the halachic implications, specifically in Seif Kut and Aleph, and I'll summarize the point about the other two Gemaras. Okay, he says in Yesh Bechaticha Shnei Hatanayim, if it has two conditions, it's Ruyali Skabeid, and it's also Asur Behanah, like a piece of Basar Becholov, right? V'nis Arva Oseris Taruvta Bein Bachila Bein Behanah V'afilu Be'elef Lo Betela. Okay, so the Shach's point here is that the Gemara and Avodah Zorah doesn't cancel out the Mishnah and Gita Nasha. We still have a stam din of Rui Liskabeba. And if you just get that, you don't get the Gemara and Avodah Zorah for the time being. That's fine, because we're going to revisit that Gemara at another time. Okay? When we do Yei Nesach, God willing, we'll revisit that Gemara. But the point is, it doesn't cancel out. And what the reason the Tur is mentioning it, is to demonstrate that at that point doesn't cancel out the Mishnah in Gita Nasha. The Mishnah says, Chatika Rui Liskabeba, that's only Asura ba'achila is not betela. That's all. And that remains the din. And that's the part that we're focusing on. What they're concerned with is that you not look at the other Gemara, which says that you need to have two conditions. There, you need to have two conditions only to be Asura ba'anah. But a Chatika Rui Liskabeba is only Asura ba'achila. That's all. That's what he's saying. Okay? This is a minor point, but I thought it's interesting that the Tur, you know, it becomes a cataloger and not just a posek. Okay, one says that something, you know, so the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that something that has both conditions, the Hainu, it's Chaticha Ruyalis Kabeba, it's a Kavadika piece, right? And an Isar Hana, it prohibits the entire mixture of Hana.
So beyond the Asur B'chala, what would be a situation where the piece would be Asur B'hana?
Chatas.
Maybe like today, like nowadays.
Oh, nowadays? What would be us?
Just
I made a nether.
Made a nether that you wouldn't eat that piece.
Yeah, that I wouldn't eat. I wouldn't eat the food that belonged
to... That's only Asur B'hana on you. Wouldn't that be more messy because it's not Asur B'hana on everybody. It's Asur B'hana on you.
Yeah, but it might be I'm the Baal Tarovas and I want to eat it, right? Okay, so I could say that in such a case, it's Asur B'hana, right?
Okay, yeah, okay,
fine. Okay. That's always the easy out, right? Yeah, the konam she'ini, neneb, you know, I make a nether that I don't want to have benefit from anybody whose last name is a profession. Right? Okay, so in such a case, right, I would say, you know, okay, good, all right. By the way, that would include a lot of Ashkenazim, because a lot of names come from professions, right? Yeah. The interesting aside is that my real family name was Klugman. Right, but my grandfather, when it came to America, they messed it up at Ellis Island. They said he didn't look so smart, I guess. So they said he's lucky. He was probably whistling or happy or something. So they changed the name from Klugman to Glickman. But actually, Jack Klugman, the actor, was my father's first cousin. Believe it or not, he does not acknowledge me in any way. And you know, we've been tracking his URL. He's never been on YU Torah, as far as I can tell. You know, but so he doesn't read my stuff. But in any case, that's a little known bit of trivia, right? Of Glickmana, whatever you would call it. Okay, so the important point for us is that our sugya is clear in Gita Nasha. A Chaticha Ruyali Skabeva is not Betela, even if it doesn't have an Isur Hana. The Tana, the first Mishnah, doesn't argue with the second. He's only dealing with entities that have both. So when he says entities that have both, he doesn't mean to say, I don't agree with the Tana over there. That's what the Shach is saying. Okay? It's simply that the mixture is not a surah b'hana also. It's not so hard, okay? Now, the Ramah in Sif Aleph observed that this chumrah also applies, and this, by the way, big inyan halacha l'maisa, question all the time, and it, sometimes, you know, Talmidim or Rabbanim forget this point and call to ask me. If the chaticha is only us, or me, the Rabbanim, is it still chaticha re'yis kabeba? And the answer is yes.
Okay. The whole din is the Rabbanan. Okay.
Yeah, the whole din is the Rabbanan, yeah. But it's not a tarte de Rabbanan. You might say it's like the Rabbanan, like Zera Ligzera, or something of that sort. We do not say that. It's one big, you know, Isur, right? We should add, though, an important limitation. And here, I mention it because we will see it, as Ezra Hashem, but you should know it. We'll see it in Klale Sveik Sveik of the Shach in Siman Kuf Yud. But anything that is Usur only Mishum Chumra, and not Dina de Rabbanan, is not included in Chaticha Rila Yiskabeba for the purposes of Chashivas. And that's an interesting concept as well. Let me just say jurisprudentially, that's also an interesting concept to me, that it's not the fact of its prohibition, but it's the source of its prohibition that is relevant. That's interesting to me also. Okay, so that even if it's only Aser Mishum Chumra, then it's only Aser Mishum Chumra, and therefore it doesn't fall into that, you know, grouping, okay? For the purposes of chashivas. Now, the din of chaticha re'yalis kabeba, the most important point, is that it's a din, in my language that I like to say, be'atzmus ha'iser, namely the guf ha'iser. It's the entity of iser, not the flavor of iser. It's only the guf ha'iser that's not betela. So if you removed it because you knew which one it was, and their shishim keneged the tam that it left behind, then the tam is betela, but not the chefze, the surah is not betela. That's what we're saying. Okay? Now, that therefore cues up. That's the reason that we have to talk about basar b'chalav here, right? Since it's the atzmus ha'isur, I love that phrase, I maybe overuse it, that's relevant here. The only thing that's not betela is the Easter that it's itself intrinsically prohibited because of its own prohibited nature. So covadik, a piece of meat that absorbed nevela gravy, is not included in this din of chaticha re'yalis kabeba because it's the gravy, not the blia, that is not ru'yalis kabed. It's the piece that's ru'yalis kabed. And the piece is only a container for that. The piece may be usser because of the gravy that it absorbed, but the gravy doesn't affect the isur. It's the atzmusa isur that affects it. I find that language very powerful, and hence I overuse it. Okay? Yes?
Isn't that inaccurate, though? Because if you hold chanam, then the whole thing
should be. So we're going to say that Ramah says, that's why I like you, because you set me up, right? You are the Ed McMahon of this Chambura, right? You know, the way he used to stand in the front and say to Johnny Carson, just how hot is it? And then he'd give his best line, right? So the fact of the matter is, this is the Ramah points out that even if you hold Chanan and Shar Isuri, yeah, right? It's not the case. It's still, it's yes, it's not the case. Only the Atzmus HaIsur. Only the Atzmus. It may be that Chanan causes the whole thing to become a primary source of Isur.
Right? So
right? It may be that you need a shear against the whole thing and not the bliya in it if you hold Chanan. But it's still heter with Isur baluabo that renders it Isur, but it's not intrinsically into it.
Makes sense. Does it make sense? You're saying the whole thing's considered a piece of trade.
Actually, not only
but
to
no,
make...
No, the whole thing's considered a piece of Chanan, but really, no, it's just got trade fit.
Well, I'll try to it's argue for you, but let me just say, by way that it not only makes sense to me, I think I've based my entire life on it. That's
okay.
Okay, so it makes perfect sense to me, but let me try to argue with you, because I see your hesitation.
No, we're saying,
okay?
We're saying it's Chanan, we're saying Chaticha, now that's the Nevela. We're making, you're assuming this entire piece becomes mamash like Nevela once it absorbs some sort of...
I'm going to make your question even better.
Now we're saying, no, in reality, it's not holding on considered treif. It's just a kosher thing with treif in it. That's a contradiction.
But let me ask you the question. Doesn't that depend on what you hold in F sharp? Well, I mean, we're getting ahead of ourselves, right? Yeah, doesn't it depend? Because it may be, hold on, didn't we say at the very beginning, and this is why I think I can convince you, but maybe I can't, And don't be easy.
Okay,
I know. No, but you're trying to help us out. You're trying to out Achenu B'nai Ashkenaz so that we shouldn't make a mistake given our silliness, right, that some of us hold Hanan and Shari Surin. Okay? So let me say the following, even though we don't La Lacha. Okay? So let's say the following. Okay? Let's go back to the very beginning with the Rush, what the Rush said about a piece of meat that absorbed Isur. He said, Nepach haheter lios kulo iser, right? And he said the opposite. He said, Nepach haiser lios kulo heter, right? Now, do you remember that he said, however, that's only the way that it functions. It depends upon whether you hold choser v'neur. Let's take the case of the flip case. You admit that the flip case is relevant here. You have heter that became iser. Right? So the Rush says, Nepach haheter lios kulo iser. Now you would say, and it sounds like Hanan, except for one thing. If you hold choser v'neur, then it's still to be considered a piece of heter with iser baluavo. Why? Because that iser can still be re-excited, reawakened, and still cause so what do we say? We say that contextually, Nepach lios kulo heter. But there's still a potentiality, there's still Isur in there. It's just that it functions as heter until it's choser v'neur. Accepted? That's the Rush.
I get, maybe. Yeah.
That's the Rush. Yeah. And you guys like the Rush, right? Right?
I like the Rush, the way you're extrapolating it. I'm not sure if I'm following that way or not.
Okay, all right, but anyway.
I'm guessing for everybody else, but yeah.
Okay, all right. So the fact is, you know,
Benny,
you always have the right. You always have the right to come back and bring it up again if you think it over and you think that I pushed you.
Right. You want to say that the notion of closer near proves that it's not completely considered a sort.
Yes, that's my point. That's better stated than I said it. That's actually very good. Okay. See the way I suck him into restating what I'm saying, right? You know, so he agrees with me, yeah.
Would that mean, though, so this is in the case of where you have a piece of het there and treif gravy, but now you take that piece of meat out and you leave it on the counter, and now your wife comes in and puts that piece of meat in a separate pot.
Right.
So in that second case now, is that...
What do we need shishim against for B-tool? Do we need against this piece of meat now? Or do we need it against...
But it was absorbed within that.
Yeah. And that depends on whether we hold...
Hanan.
Now we're getting... This is good because it's starting Basar B'Cholov, actually, right? Now, that's the main difference between Basar B'Cholov and Shari Surin. Because in Basar B'Cholov we say that piece... that of meat that got milk in it has now become a chefzad isura. Chaticha atzma nases nevela. It now is a full thing and I need shishim against the whole thing. Now why does that apply only to basar b'chalav and not to shari suri? And that's the tosfos. It's easy to understand. Because in basar b'chalav, what do I have? I don't have heter that absorbed isur. I have shnehem heter. And when did the Isur come about? In the combination. So it's not, you can't say the milk in the meat is the Isur, or the meat soup in the cheese that absorbed, you know, milk, fleshic soup is the Isur. Shnehem heter, and therefore shnehem v'hishavus become Isur, right? And therefore then the piece of meat is aser machmas atzmo, is the phrase that he uses. And it becomes a primary source. The Isur was effected in the cooking of that piece of meat with the nevela. So that's very clear now. That makes sense. So therefore, we would say that we apply this principle so consistently that in Chaticha Briyolis Kabeba, we say Basar B'Cholov is Asur Matmas with Atzmo, and that a piece of Basar B'Cholov is Briyolis Kabeba and is not Potato. So if Fred Flintstone, Lahavdil, right? If Fred Flintstone, as my wife always accuses me of looking like Fred Flintstone, by the way. I don't see the resemblance, but she always accuses me of looking at, you know. Sometimes if I'm asleep, I'll just hear her whisper in my ear, yabba dabba doo. Okay? So anyway, most of you don't even know who Fred Flintstone is because he's pre-Nickelodeon, right?
Her name is Paloma.
Yeah, no, it isn't. It isn't, yeah. Then it would make sense, right? You know, but I think she just finds me prehistoric. I don't know. I think that's what it is. Maybe it's table manners. I don't know. But in any case, let's look at the following. Okay, you have a piece of meat that, like that big drumstick that was always put on Fred's plate, and it tipped it over, right? You know, so you have this big thing there, right? It's kosher. It falls into a kli rishon, so it's Basar B'challah of D'oraisa, or it's Kavush in milk, so it's Basar B'challah of D'rabbanan, right? We just said D'rabbanan, we also hold that way. Now it's a primary source of Isur. It now is a Chefze D'Isura. It is Chatikha Riel Iskabeba. But if it was just that it was a piece of meat that absorbed the Vela gravy, not the case.
Unless you're Ashkenazi.
Okay.
No, I don't mean to be confusing, but if you're Ashkenazi, hold, it's Shari Surah.
If I hold Hanan. But the Ramah points out, or is it the Mechaber? Let's look quickly, sorry. I actually forget now which one says which. But let's just read the words, just so that we're not, Benny does not lead us to the dark side. Okay? Okay, so let's just read the words, right?
Which halacha are you looking at?
So we're looking at, sorry, I'm in proof, I should look in proof Aleph, in the right Siman. Okay, now look at Sif Beis. Ein la din chaticha rielis gabed elim keni sura machmatz atzma. Kigon nevela ubasa rechalov, which he has to spell out, right? Aval ines ra machmatz shekibla tam me iser v'lo haya bashishim levatlo afilu lemi shesover chaticha atzma nases nevela ein la din chaticha rielis gabed. Okay? So the Mechaber was Mechaben. Yavo yom v'yamod avrech v'yichadesh that Hanan should be right. Hatigarius Kabeba. And so as not to be misled by Benny, the Mechaber put that in there. Okay? Right? I mean, there it is in black and white. Written, by the way, by a Sfardi Tahor, by the way. By the Mechaber, right? So he's trustworthy.
So what would be a practical application of halacha bet, considering his qualification? You look at just a simple case?
Yes, a simple case would be, what, you mean find one where we could consider, well, be any case that you consider Hanan in Shari Suri would still be Chatiha Riyu
Skabir. You've got a big drumstick, you've got some tray fat oiled on top of that.
Yeah, it's still Heter Shekibel Iser. That's what it still is. Shabbala Iser.
And Mechaber thinks this would apply even if you hold Chanan and Ramah does.
Yes. But he says, but why not in Basar B'challah? Dafke in Basar B'challah, because the Iser is both of them. But even if you hold Chanan, it's still a piece of meat with Iser in it, and hence my application of the Chose Vineyer principle and the point that the Rush made way back when. Right? Okay?
It just seems like,
well, at least one thing you admit. You may not like it, but you can see that it's consistent with the Rush's
analysis. Yeah, it still seems like a contradiction to me. Yeah. The way I conceive of Qanan is that you consider the whole thing to be a piece of trade.
I wouldn't be uncomfortable leaving this in Machlokas, Benny and the Rush. I wouldn't be.
I wouldn't, okay.
I wouldn't buy it. Okay? Now. Okay, so. Bum, 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 bum. Okay, now. The Rush cites. The machlokas are shown as to whether or not the chaticha has to be in a state that would make it worthy of serving a guest as it is now. So the Rush, the example he gives is a chicken with its feathers, a tarnigolos benotzasa. Right? You can see how much the Rush figures in the literary oeuvre of the, if I could call it that, of the Mechaber. Because the Mechaber specifically wants to mention and says it in the Rush's words. So the Rush says that something that is a tarnigolos benotzasa, right? I disagree with those who say that it's not a chaticha haruyalis kabeba. Okay? He also says that if somebody had a raw piece of meat, that was in the pot. And you couldn't serve a raw piece of meat to somebody, and it went into the pot, and it was, but it was the size of Ruyal Iskabeba and the quality of Ruyal Iskabeba, but it was basar chai, it was raw meat. That would also not be Chatika Ruyal Iskabeba, and the Rush says no. Okay?
The Rush says
it would be. Okay? Now let's read the Mechaber and Sif Gimel.
We have the pool of being a non-realit chabed. Meanwhile, let's say a piece of meat, a nice piece of steak, falls to a tray, a problematic one, falls to a tray with 8 other pieces that are not there.
Would that be considered bitul lechatchilas?
So now I know, oh my god, this is
realit
chabed.
I don't think
problem.
So.
All of them should be usher to me, because I can't tell which is which. So you know what? Take a knife, chop all the big pieces of steak, the little pieces of steak, so none of them are now. Would that be a problem of
no, but see, when it went in there and the bitul was affected,
but it wasn't affected.
We would say,
it's a no.
But I would say the following. Okay, I'll let you think it over based on the principles that we've seen. But I would say the following. Okay, I would just observe the following. Okay, every piece, every small piece of meat, and you can see my article in the Journal of Butchery. Every small piece of meat starts out as a big piece of meat.
Okay.
This is my doctoral thesis, and it's in the Journal of Butchery and Gourmanderie, October 2001.
Okay, so every big piece, you find every small piece startup is a big piece of their work.
Right. So I could one argument I could start out and say every piece is originally a chatika ruyal iskabeba. So by cutting them up, I've already been mevatel leizer, right?
But when the thing's a cow,
but that's
you
not.
Wouldn't serve a cow on the table. So
okay. So that's going to lead us to our next exception.
I would not say that.
But that's the next.
Right, it's also not a chaticha, like Lenny just said. Right?
Okay.
Not even a chaticha, it's a cow.
So maybe it's a chaticha in the modern Israeli sense. Right?
Oh.
That's one good-looking cow, right? You know? No.
What about if you put...
You're mechaveing to something.
Well,
I'm being facetious, but you're mechaveing to something.
Steak,
now you'll see exactly...
Why don't you just chop all them up? And
now you'll see exactly why the mechaber includes the next exception that he disagrees with the Rush. Okay? And let's read all three exceptions in Sif Gimel. And you'll see. And that's why they're all included together.
What about if you cook certain people they put a lamb on a spit and then they cook it. So now you have that whole lamb there. And then as you're going through it, you realize, oh, there's still a piece of tripe on it. Or
Nevela? Well, no. There's how could part of the lamb be Nevela and part couldn't?
No, I'm saying in terms
because
of
Nevela is non-shepted halachically. Right.
I didn't mean Nevela.
So
it's
a cow chelev.
Yeah. I meant.
You need the chelev on.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're gonna. That's a separate question here. That is whether or not how we treat Isur Davuk, something that's part of the thing itself, and I'm gonna. Put that off if I could until we get to that. Okay? So, well, sorry?
He deals with my question.
I know, that's why I want to read it. So it's in Sif, let's read in Sif Gimel. Tarnagolas Minotsasa, Shinis Arva Bacheros, Pitela Share Eina Ruya Liska Bailik Ne Orkni, Kamoshihi, the Afal Pisha Har Shinis Arva, He Siro Hanotsa. Okay? The chain lo chashiva ruuya liskabed elim kenhi mivushelas. The chain keves shalein o chaticha gedolu yoser midai lo chashiva ruuya liskabed she'ein derech litain lifneha oreach keves shalein o chaticha gedolu yoser midai. And who's the yesh cholkin becholze? The Rush. Okay. Now, this raises another point, a stylistic point. We need to have klalim to understand when the Rosh says v'yesh cholkin or v'yesh omrim v'yesh misha omer, three different lashonos that he does, what the meaning of those is, what the intent of those is. And that's a controversial topic. And the person that deals with it in great detail is the Sefer Yad Malachi, which I'm going to, we will get to see in, God willing, the second half of Davar Yishayish L'Matirim, which we're about to start now. Okay? Okay? So we'll get to see that. All those that they're called, he has a section called Klalei Haposkin. And it takes a tremendous amount of Bikias in order to be able to, you know, decide that and bring citations of the Mechaber's Lashon from all over the four Chalakim of Or Chaim. We won't look at all of them, but we'll get a sense of it and get some principles that we can use for interpreting the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch in general. So I'm always interested in the meta principles that become methodological, right? So I want to note that we are going to leave for the time being that the Yesh Cholkin becalls that. What does the Mechaber say? What does the Ramah say? The Chein Noagin. Namely, we follow the rush in everything except for one. Milvad Tarnigolus Benotzasa. Why? De Mechuseres Maseh Gadol. De Noagin Ba Shehibetela. Right? So it's such a tirfa to remove the feathers. I know my wife does it when she ever finds she's manic about it with tweezers. It's a very hard thing to do. I once told you what that process is called. Do you remember anybody? Maliga.
Maliga.
Yeah. Okay, Maliga. They used to do it in hot water, and the question is if they did it with hot water before it was salted.
Maliga, is it right?
Yeah, yes.
The problem nowadays also.
Yes.
They still do that, right?
Yeah, well, except that most things that you get have already been salted. Most meat that you buy from most butchers.
No, similar, but remember, like you teach us a shita class here, we'd go to like the slaughterhouses here, the yeah. Blind poultry slaughterhouses, and it would always be an issue to like get the chickens right away. We would check them, otherwise they would just take them and they'd boil them right away to
right.
Feathers. So
right.
If you do a live poultry thing, it would be a
yeah. Issue. And did you see Shkita Spey Magasa?
No, not yet.
Okay. Are you, well, be prepared to be vegetarian after that.
Really? Okay, maybe.
Yeah. It's a tough process.
I don't think
he
does
it. Reb Elkin is. Reb Elkin does.
Elkin and Reb Ben Chaim.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
I saw the sheet. Yeah,
it's a lot of blood. It's amazing.
I used to. I took a group here.
Took a video on there.
I took a group here to, from Yeshiva once to see Shkita Spey Magasa when we used to require Shkita and I used to teach it. So I actually took him to see it, and it was it's a pretty smelly process. You know.
So much work.
Yeah. But you want to be you want to be in hospitals all the time, so you're going to have to get used to it.
I want to be the big guy, that's just what I want to be.
Yeah, okay. I just assume that Teva HaBrios will change at Korban Abay, at Binyan Beis HaMikdash when I'm the Kohen Gadol, so
we'll be vegan.
Yeah, so. Okay, all right, now. So I'm going to leave that to the side, that principle of how to deal with the clothing until we get into the next... Sima. Okay? Now, Benny's question about Nisrasek and whatever you'll find in Se'ifav.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's pretty straightforward. I think that you can read it yourself. I want to move ahead to Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin if I can. Okay? Where there's a lot of lumdas involved. Okay? So you'll remember, no doubt, the proverbial egg that is laid on Yom Tov. I mean, it's so proverbial that an entire Masechta is named for it, right? Masechta Beitza. By the way, just a word about that I like to observe whenever I mention it. There are two ways in the ancient world to name a book. One is to refer to it by the opening words, like Breishis, Shmos, Vayikra, the Midbar, Devarim. The other is referred to it by its content. So you have Maasei Breishis. Chazal call Shmos Yitzias Mitzrayim. They call, what do they call Vayikra? Torah's Kohanim, right? What do they call Bamidbar? Anybody know? Chumash HaPakudim. And what do they call the Dvarim? Mishneh Torah, okay? So since the first way is to use the first important word, it's not surprising that we call the Sefer Shmos with a shva and not shemos with a tzeirah, if you ever thought about it, right? Because that's the word, right? So shmos is a nismach, it's a construct, right? And it really wouldn't make sense by itself, but it means names of. But standing alone, we would say shemos, just names, but since we're not talking about the content, but just referencing a word, that's why we call it shmos. Which then comes to my pet peeve. I wonder why people refer to it as Bamidbar, because it actually should be, if it's shmos, it should be Bamidbar, right? So that's why I always say that. I'm sure Rabbi Weider calls it that also, right? So I'm sure Professor Bernstein definitely calls it that, okay? So the again, a nismach versus the way the word is, and the way the word is vocalized in the Chumash, right? Since we're referring to the first important word, not its content, if we say shmos, we should probably say Bamidbar, okay? We, however, generally refer to Meseftos by content. It's called Kiddushin and not Isha Niknes, right? These are interesting to me, right? Okay. Brachos and not Meimas Ikorin. But one exception is Meseftos Beitza. Or we used to, when I was a kid, I was always told to say Beya because, you know, it's a Shon Sagi Nahor. Okay. Here too, though, there's also a content name, and you'll see it referred to in many places. The more prevalent name for the Masechta among Chazal is Yom Tov, and that's the way Chazal usually refer to it. It's Masechta's Yom Tov. What they mean is Masechta's Beitza. Okay, right. Now, I as long as I'm on that, I want to point out that there are also names of Masechtos that appear to be a compromise between the two methods. Right. They refer to the content, but the first important subject in the Mishnah. For instance, Maseches Sukkah is about a lot of things, including other Yom Tov practices, right? Hallel and whatever, right? The Masechta opens, however, with the topic of Sukkah, and so it's named after the first important topic, which is sort of, in my mind, an amalgam between the two methods of the first word and the content, right? So it makes sense that the first word method would usually apply more, I think, to Kisvei HaKodesh than Divrei Chachamim, since the first words are Kodesh, whereas the others are just rabbinical words, right? So hence the first word method for the Torah, but the content or the first important subject for the Mishnah. Okay, that's my idea, I thought I'd mention it, all right? So we first encounter the idea of Davar Sheyeshlo Matirin in Perek Kamed de Maseches Yom Tov, on the first Mishnah there. Okay, should I take a little break and let you grab some Masechtos? We can do that. Why don't we do that? Okay. Okay. So, let's look at the first Mishnah. I know it's familiar to you, but Beitza Shenodah B'Yom Tov Beis Shammai Amrim Teachel Beis Hillel Amrim Lo Teachel. The Gemara presents three different Okim Tov. I'm just going to like summarize the sugya, right? So, looking down, Omar Rabba. Li'olam b'tarnigolas ha'omedes la'achila u'v'yom tev shechaliyo sachar ha'shabas haskinen u'mishum hachana. So this is known in the literature as hachana de Rabba. In Rabba's Perush, Beis Hillel prohibits the egg mishum hachana, since the egg had to be prepared within the chicken's body the previous day. We have a situation in which hachana de Rabba applies. U'kisavar Rabba kol beitza d'miyalda ha'idna me'esmol gemarala. Rabba Latame Damar Rabba Mai Dirsiv Bahayaba Yomashishi Vehino is a Shir Yaviu, Homechin Lashabis, Vahomechin Layomtov, Vain Yomtov, Mechin Lashabis, Vain Shabbos, Mechin Ali Yomtov. So the case that we're talking about is a Yomtov Shechali Yosachar Shabbos. The egg was finished on Shabbos, and therefore when it was laid on Yomtov, you prepared from Shabbos to Yomtov. Okay? All right, so that's the reason that he says the beitza can't be eaten. Okay, in Rav Yosef's Perush, Beis Hillel prohibits the egg mishum gezera. Rav Yosef Amar gezera mishum peiros anoshrin. So the egg that's been serendipitously laid on Yom Tov is akin to fruits that fall from a tree. Abaye notes that the reason is lest someone ascend the tree to pluck the fruit. Amar le Abaye peiros anoshrin tama mai. You see apples that fell, you can't eat them. Zera, so you like the apple, Shema Yalev Yislo, should go up and take another one. So therefore, anything that hadn't been loose before is no good, right? All right, now this raises an obvious question. He gufa gzera, vana nekom v'nigzar gzera, right? Are you going to say something?
No.
Okay, all right. By instituting the prohibition against an egg that was laid on Yom Tov, lest someone reason from the egg to peros that fall, which are themselves asurim, due to gzeira, we're left with gzeira to gzeira. Answer, the original gzeira included everything in it, peros and the egg, namely natural products that become available in a Yom Tov, right? Kula chad gzeirahi, that's the answer, okay? Very interesting topics, gzeira to gzeira. The Gemara offers a third perush that Beis Hillel prohibits the egg mishum gzeira mishum mashkin shezavu. This prompts the same question from Abaye, the same answer. Okay, so we now have three explanations for the egg's prohibited status. For Rabba, it's a sur min Torah since it falls under the prohibition of hachana from a Shabbos to a Yom Tov. Then we have Rav Yosei from Rav Yitzchak, both who see the prohibition as part of a large gzeira, but still only the Rabbanit. Okay, there it is. That whole sugya in 20 seconds. All right. Okay. Now, the Gemara tests the three explanations of Beis Hillel against the Braisa. And the reason being, of course, for the Amoraim to be coherent, they should be consistent with the Braisa since they come after the Braisa. And let's look at it. Meisvei, here's the Braisa. Echad Beitza Shenolda B'Shabbos. Ve'echad beitza shenolda b'yom tov. Ein metal telinosa, you can't move it. Lo lechasos ba es akli, you can't take it to cover something. Lo lismoch ba karei amita, not to put it under the leg of a bed so that it'll, you know, won't wobble. Aval kofe ales akli, you cover it over with a ball. Bishvil shaloti shaver, so it won't break. Usveka asura, and if I'm not sure if it was nolda b'shabbos or b'yom tov, it's aser. V'im nisarva be'elef kulan asuros, and it ruins the whole tarova. Even if it's with 1,000 other eggs, the suffek clause presents a clear opportunity then to differentiate among the three amoraim, since as we noted before, only one of them explains the Mishnah as an iser d'oraisa. Bishlama l'rabba d'amar mishum hachana habi sveka d'oraisa. Chol sveka d'oraisa l'chumra. Ela l'rav Yosef ul'rav Yitzchak d'amri mishum zera sveka d'rabbanani. Chol sveka d'rabbanan l'kula. So then the Gemara says, Seifa atan l'safek treifa. The Gemara answers that we need not explain the Braisa as talking about a single Easter all the way through. The Seifa, the Braisa, the Safek clause, talk about something else. It's not talking about an egg that was suffek laid on Yom Tov, suffek laid on Chol, but an egg that was laid by a suffek treifa, by an animal that might possibly be a treifa. The Braisa then, by the way the Gemara is reading it, is a collection of halachos pertaining to an egg, not as a single halachic situation. Okay, makes sense. The topic, the organizing principle of the Braisa is that all the Yisurim mentioned it pertain to an egg, not just an egg laid on a Yom Tov. The Gemara says, okay, let's test the Bryce's next clause. Ihachi Ema Sefer, how about the next clause? Nisarva Be'elef, Kulan Asuras, have got mixed in, they're all. Iam Rapi Shlomo Safek Yom Tov, Safek Chol, it would be a Davar Shiyeshlo Matirin. V'chol Davar Shiyeshlo Matirin, I feel Be'elef Lo Batel. Ela Iam Rat Safek Trefa, Davar Sheinlo Matirin He, V'ti Batel Baruba. The problem with the Safek Trefa explanation for the Sveka Dioraisa, Sveka Asura clause of the Braises that doesn't leave us an explanation for the next section of the clause. Namely, that if there's a Suffek, it isn't Batel. A Suffek Trefa would be Betela Barov Minatora. Umid Rabbanah, by the way. If we left the Braisa talking about a single Easter in the egg and made the Suffek, whether it was laid on a Yom Tov, then the Sefer would also make sense. The egg would be davar sheishlo matirin, a thing that has a path of least resistance that it's going to become heter, and that's the way I define davar sheishlo matirin, a thing that will, if nothing else intervenes, become heter. Okay. Anything that has such a quality is not batel afilu mid rabbanan. So the Gemara here, introduced as a davar yadua. It just said, well, this would make sense, right? It doesn't even lay out the source for it. It just says, this would make sense if it was all one suffek, right? If we were talking about suffek nolda b'yom tov, because then it would be a davar sheyesh lo matirin. Everybody knows a davar sheyesh lo matirin. It's not betela. Okay? So yeah, this is how we encounter derech, a sugya, how we encounter this, So you can look at the Hemshech HaSugya if you haven't learned Beitza before. But for our purposes, we'll just note the halachic conclusion stated by Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi Amar, the Olam Safek Yom Tov Safek Chol Havei Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin V'Chol Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin Afilu B'Drabanin Lo Batel. And that's the law. So we have our next category of things that are not detailing M'Drabanin. A Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. Okay? Now, let's note parenthetically, though, something that we're going to return to in Yirtzeh Hashem later. The Safek Trefa is not a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. Otherwise, we wouldn't have had the question from Bitul in the Sefer Debraisa, right? Okay? Now, we have to understand, why is that the case? Why is a Safek Trefa not a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin? Okay? The Gemara insists that the explanation that the suffix that is a surah, if it was then mixed with others, cannot be davar sheyesh lo matirin. So let's make sure we understand what kind of case we're talking about. A chicken is a suffix trefa. It will eventually become clear whether this chicken is a trefa or not. Either in that it will lay eggs in the future, or it will be shechted and we'll know for certain. You can't look at a chicken all the time and know that it's a trefa. It may be that it internally has an organic problem. You can't ask the chicken if it's a trefa. Because even if it could talk, it wouldn't know. Unless it could see inside. Okay? Yeah. So the Rashba, actually, in Sif Beis, is cited l'halacha to the effect that such a case is not a davar sheyesh lo matirin for one reason and one reason only. The Iser doesn't follow for certain like Chol follows Yom Tov. It seems that way. Except for one thing. They also consider things that are easy to effect a heter to be a davar sheyesh lo matirin as well. And therefore, while it's usher, it's not tailor. Like a neder. I'm always coming back to that, right? Like a neder. Because you can go to a chacham and he can matir. And that's considered not to be a big deal, like removing the chickens, the feathers from a chicken. Okay? And that's going to become a big case for us. Nedarim is going to be a big case for us. Because it's going to open the door to the Ran to explain this in a fascinating and conceptually appealing, but not shot appealing way. Okay? What I mean by that is that it's not clear that it's the meaning of the text, but it certainly makes sense.
Is it just the demonstration? It's the type of the Isser, though, not? I mean, here, the classic data is Pesach and
yes, on Chametz.
Right.
Because Pesach will end.
And right now it's Usher and it will be Mukher. With something,
right.
You're not sure what it is now and you'll know later.
And that's the model. So the Rashba says that because the Gemara considers that it's obvious, Shita, that a Suffek Trefa is not a Dover Sheyesh Lo Matirin, it has to be something like Pesach and Chol or Yom Tov and Chol. It has to be something like that that just as the day follows the night, I know that it's going to be.
So what would the Rashba do with Nedarim then?
What?
So what would the Rashba say about Nedarim?
Rashba would say that Nedarim is, everybody goes to a Chacham. Okay? It's not contingent. So maybe that's the difference.
Yeah,
right? Because with Suffolk Trefa, I don't know if it's going to be that. So it'd have to be something I know is Vadai going to be met there. Right? But there are lots of Trefas. Right? Yes.
So regarding that there are certain people certain rabbanim in the yeshiva that don't drink milk. Now, the concept...
Ooh, I knew that was going to raise its ugly head.
What?
You still aren't drinking milk? Really?
Yeah. So that, meaning, I'm just confused in terms of... Just in terms of how this... Well, like, doesn't it seem like what we're saying would be...
What is that? Would you want to know what that revolves around?
Yes.
That revolves around the fact that the Gemara says, "Rove behemos sheros hain." However, right, today, because of the environment and nuclear whatever and
also
rock
they,
music,
how they milk cows.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, it may be that too. But the fact of the matter is, a large number of them, why are you laughing? Because I said because of rock music? Okay? Because a large number of cows maybe belie the Gemara's statement about Roe Behemoth Kshay was saying. Okay? Mm-hmm. So I want to just, okay? Now.
But putting that into this case, it's something that we wouldn't know till later on.
Well, except, well, let's take the simple case. If the process of milking perforce renders them treif, then that's a problem, because then you're taking the milk of a treifa, right? If it's just the original notion that of the rove, then that becomes, again, something that besieges law in every form, and that's if a statement is... when we say a rove, did that define it and that's the end of it? Or if I have empirical evidence to the contrary, is that legal statement not have force? Okay? So do I treat rove behemos sherosain formalistically, or do I look and see what the actual percentage is? Okay? All right? So there are two aspects to that. The latter one, if they're trafing them up in the way they do it, that's just a question of halacha lemaisa, right? And that doesn't interest me as much as the methodological question of if I had a statistical observation that runs counter to a statistical observation, right? Now, we mentioned this early on, you know, when I said that the Gemara makes lots of assumptions, or presumptions is a better term, about behavior, and we talked about a chazaka dehanhaga, if you remember, we did. You may not have been here, but we did it very early on, okay? And that's this. The Gemara sometimes will say things like, chazaka ein adam meiz bifnei baal chovo. So we have a presumption that if you come up to me and you say, et a Beis Din, this, you bring me to Beis Din, and we say, and you say, I lend him money, and I say, absolutely not. I believe, according to the Din of Gemara, because Chazaka ain't adam meiz b'nei baal chovo. I mean, that was an observation that somebody's not going to totally deny it. They're going to say, yeah, I owed it, but I paid it back, or something, you know, something of that sort, right? However, the Ramah, among others, observes in Choshen Mishpat that kind of presumption, which is called a presumption to Hanhaga, is in fact tied to the sociological circumstances of the period in which the shaila happens. So we don't do that generally in halakha and say, I'll tie it back to not taking medicine on Shabbos. Okay? So we don't say that generally and say, well, if the gezeirah never, or I'll take Gomel Benchin. Somebody asked me yesterday, I was in Linden for Shabbos as a scholar resident. Somebody asked me, said, I don't really consider it so unsafe to statistically to fly across an ocean. Should I say go mention? I said, well, the fact of the law is you were across an ocean, you say it, right? You know, it's not the takana bimkoma omedes, right? Another example of that. What was the reason that they made kiddush? We make kiddush in shul for those who do. People used to sleep and eat in the shul, right? So we'd be yotzei. They couldn't afford wine, so we yotzei motzi them, so they would have said kiddush. Bimkom suda, they would have had kiddush while they're there, right? The Shulchan Aruch says, the Mechaber says in Halachas of Shabbos, that if that's your custom, if that's what the shul's custom was, it stands bimkoma, that the gezeirah doesn't move. If you have a new shul, a new minyan, doesn't have him, he says you should be manhig not to do it, right? But we keep the practice the way it is because there's an essential small c conservatism in halachic practice, right? Now, there are other strategies, however. We can say that the original... Yeah, well, that's because they follow the Gra. So that's the Prushim, right? And any yeshiva, they probably don't make Kiddush because we generally follow the Gra's minig. I, as a kid, didn't make Kiddush in shul. And then, you know, I dove into more yeshivish minyanim. I hadn't seen Kiddush made in shul for years. And then when I moved back to New Jersey, I, you know, all of a sudden, Kiddush every Shabbos. It was like sort of shocking to me. By the way, why do we give the wine to a kid?
Because in Kiddush, over Makom Suda, there's no Suda over there. Bisman is there.
Ah, but you can make, the halacha is that you can make Kiddush for
no
somebody, problem. You can be motzi them, even if it's not your Makom Suda.
There's Bisman Hazeh, at least in most
I think it's
shuls.
A different reason. I think it's a different reason. Based on the Gemara in Eiruvim, it's Eiruvim Daf Mem Amud Beis. Let me mention this because it specifically mentions. That's why it has a stronger explanation. So it says Hamivarech Chayev Shiyitom. He has to taste, right? So the Gemara uses that as discussion of whether you make Shechiyano on a Yom Kippur. Say, well, you couldn't do it on a Kos because if you made Kiddush, it's already Yom Kippur. You couldn't taste, right? You couldn't, right? And so the Gemara says that Lisve Liyanuka, give it to a kid. Then we decide, no, you don't give it to a kid because you don't manhig somebody. You don't teach a kid to eat on Yom Kippur, right? But otherwise, you would give it to a kid, which leads then to the understanding that it's not that it's a birchas aneni that you have to recite, that you have to taste the wine, but it's because genai hu lakos, that you use a kos, you make a bracha on it, you don't drink from it. And that's the reason that the same thing applies to Kiddush under the chuppah. Right? Just somebody has to drink it. If it was Birchos Aneni and he said Bori Priyagaf and Masadar Kedushin, he'd have to drink it himself. Because you can't make a Birchos Aneni for somebody else when they're eating unless you're eating too, unless you're consuming as well. So that now, however, there's a machlokus among some poskim that there are some gedolim who would take the yayin and pour it on their hands. Right?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
So in Ner Yisrael, I think I think I've seen somebody do that. But I think Reb Chaim used to do that, or the Greeks. They would pour the wine in the hand and go like this and then give the kos to the, you know, which is why, unless I'm sitting within distance of chuppah, I never shake the hand in the Masada Kedushin. Right? Okay. All right. Anyway, I'm just kidding. Okay.
Sich Kashtia, I would think, you know, is that the reason?
What?
No, then they wouldn't lick it, so.
Yeah. Or they put a little drop on and then they whatever. Yeah. But that wouldn't be a shear, it wouldn't be below lugma or reeves or anything. But anyway, so that's sort of a little halakhic sidelight. Okay? All right? Now, so what do we say? The Rashba concludes in Sif Beis that from the fact that Suffolk Treif is not, says like Dov says, that it has to be something like Pesach and Chol. Okay? Now, next time I'm going to send you, I see that I have a lot of Makoros here that I'd like to send you. And I'm going to, anybody has the Torah Sabayis, they could bring it next time. Otherwise, I'll send out a Daf of Makoros. There's also a wonderful Reb Chaim on the Rambam tied to this Gemara in Eil Treifus, and Abnei Nezer, a Chidushi Agriz, and a Kovet Shmuel. I, you know, these are the great Acharonim from the past generations, and they're all engaged in a conversation about the Gemara on Daf Nun Ches Amud Aleph in Chulin. Maybe I'll give you a little taste of some of the laws of Treifus next time, just as an aside, and we'll continue with Davar Sheishal Matirin. So I'm going to send out some additional Makoros that are not actually in the Tur Beis Yosef. Okay, so I guess we'll pick it up at this point next time, okay?